You drop a vague line every once in a while that is like the hardest, heaviest shit I've ever heard. Like, I don't, if I hadn't taken a mental health break, I don't know what would have happened.
You'd just be falling down.
Yeah.
Like, I wake up every morning going, I am the angel of death. The time of turbulence is here.
So do you have a plan for your coworkers, or is it just kind of like whoever you see first?
This shit's getting real.
No, no, it might be on us. He's back in North Carolina. I think
I mean, I would say technically y'all are coworkers.
Oh, shit.
You got a good point. We are professionals. We make so much money doing this.
That's okay. I love you, hoes. I really needed to take a break, you know, because if I'd waited till June, it would have been 2 years since I saw my mom. Jesus. Which is like pretty, for someone like me, I'm like, that's a long time. And, you know, I haven't been to Wilmington, unfortunately, I think in just as long of a time period, but, just due to travel issues, I unfortunately couldn't make it this time. I'm going to try maybe for like maybe beginning of summer or so like that.
You want to come open for green jelly with us?
Are they related to KY Jelly?
Either on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
I'm sorry, Green Jell-O is the name of the band.
Yeah, they had to change their name.
Wait, really?
Some way or the other, they had to change their name.
Yeah, probably from Jell-O.
I can tell you the story if you want to hear it. They changed their name from Green Jell-O to Green Jell-O because they were called Green Jell-O and like the food. And they were.
Did you just have a stroke, Vic?
No, I didn't. It sounds crazy. So they got sued because of Jell-O.
Sure.
And so they changed their name to Green Jelly with a Y with umlauts on it, but a Y with umlaut is pronounced O, so it's still Green Jell-O. Really? It just looks like Green Jelly.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's how you pronounce a Y with an umlaut?
In some language it is. I don't know.
Some fantasy language that isn't real.
I think it's Swedish.
That's not real.
Sweden isn't a real place anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, their fish are made of candy. You expect me to believe that this is a fucking actual nation with a governing body and shit? Fuck off.
In fact, Sweden is the capital of Finland.
Yeah, is it?
Which is also not real. The entirety of Scandinavia is just an imagination.
It's
just place.
It's an absurd notion.
More like Scandalnavia.
One time, I'm pretty sure I told this on the pod, but one time I gave a band, Swedish band was playing with us one time, and I gave them a bag of Swedish fish, and they were like, "What is this?"
Thank you very much, sir.
They didn't know what it was.
Is that racist? Is that?
It's fine.
Racist if it's going to be the character.
Again, this is not a real people, real culture, real nation, or anything. So you can't be racist against.
It's like making fun of Fraggles or something.
Exactly.
They're not going to get it.
Whoa! Language.
That's their word.
Did Oogles spin off of Fraggles?
Did what?
I mean, their hair looks similar.
You never heard the term Oogles described for like gutter punks, crust punks?
No.
I'm not sure the etymology of that word.
All right. Well,
is it like their caveman, like Oogle? I don't know.
We've had this exact same conversation before.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard the word Oogles before.
I thought we talked about it.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like voluntarily homeless, like crust punks.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah. It's
I didn't know there was a specific name for it.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of names for it, but Oogles was the one that I remember hearing the last time around, which I heard like about maybe 5 years ago.
Gotcha. So, Ryan, you potentially murdering your coworkers. I think I'm just going to throw this out there. That could do a lot for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to do that. So
can you just not do it with guns? Can you like hit him with a cactus or something weird? Or
toys. Do it with dog toys.
Oh, dog toys. That's a good one.
Yeah. Like squeaky toys.
They're right there. Right? Oh, yes. No, you don't work at that place anymore, do you?
Well, yeah, I work at the old one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He still works at the pet store.
Yeah. I don't work for the old company, the new one, yeah.
So you theoretically could beat your coworkers to death with dog toys.
Yeah, say like say something you said it, not us. That doesn't make sense. Like, those are your words. Give a dog a bone.
If we ever if we ever end up getting these giant like femur bones back in that dogs could chew on, we could probably do some damage with those.
Oh, yeah. you could sell your coworker's femur bones after the crime has been committed.
Give me femur. Femur in the morning.
I was just thinking, did y'all see the footage of that dude's podcast they were recording and then they got hit by a car?
Dude, that's crazy shit.
It's good publicity for their podcast. So what I'm saying is we need a tragedy to strike ours. I
don't know. Can it be that great of publicity and you don't even know the name of the podcast?
Well, but I imagine that for every one of me there's lots of people like you that almost listened and even more people that did listen.
I watched it without the sound.
Like, it raised the awareness of the podcast. So we need like a Hindenburg or a us getting
I think
hit, like,
first idea best idea, let's just go with Hindenburg.
Okay
like a Hindenburg or like the Milli Vanilli
a natural disaster.
It turns out we've all just been lip syncing to a recording of another podcast each
week. Dude, that's a great idea though.
That's an insane, that just melted my mind a little bit. How
if God. We ever do a live Jort Center, can we just come out and like play a Joe Rogan podcast and just like mime to it?
Just check our phones the whole time.
Or we get someone to recreate an episode and then we come out and we just we're like our voices are so much smoother and like we all sound like R&B singers, but we're just doing an episode, like word for word.
Who's George is it anyway?
Yeah. There was a band who released an EP and it turned out that their music was other bands' music.
What?
But they put it up as their own.
You mean it's just the covers EP?
They didn't cover it. They
no, just it's just other people's music.
They just re-uploaded the songs.
So it was a fake band that wasn't even a real band?
They passed themselves off as a real band.
They did the old Threaten? I guess Threaten was a real band, though.
Yeah, oh, wow. Threaten really had the music. I mean, right. They just found something on Bandcamp and were like, oh, that's what I want.
That is
like
one of the most insanely ballsy things I've ever heard.
How did they get caught?
I think eventually the other band found it because this wasn't like a big band, and essentially this is what made them big for the day was people realizing it was some other smaller band's music.
And see, now they're famous, and now we're talking about them, and I don't know their name either.
So, would you say that it was good publicity for the band who got ripped off?
There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
I would imagine it's better.
Jared
than
from Subway would say otherwise.
Yeah, I would say it was probably better than not.
Well, like, I don't know. They're making a movie about Jared from Subway. Do you have a movie about you?
I'm sorry, what?
They're making a Jared movie.
How?
Why?
With cameras and shit?
I think it's a documentary, right?
Is it a documentary? I thought it was like a biopic.
With cameras and shit.
Who do you think would play a good Jared?
Luke Wilson.
Owen
Wilson.
Does anyone know who the angry video game nerd is? Okay, never mind. If you look this dude up, you'd probably be like, "Oh man, I could see it."
I think we should use actors.
Yeah,
Dave Matthews.
Yeah, Dave Matthews.
Ryan's next going to suggest a guy he saw at the gas station one time. Does anybody know the guy that I was standing in line behind at the gas station when I was getting a chocolate milk?
His first name is Josh. He might be related to you, Josh.
What about Jonah Hill's not tall enough?
No, ooh, Jonah Hill.
Be the before, I guess. Right?
Hey, look, they made Rudy into a hobbit. They can make Jonah Hill a little bit taller. Okay,
true.
Damn, Ryan, you were right on the fucking money. Actually, sorry.
You must have been because I really for a second thought you were just showing us a picture of Jared.
No, that's the angry video game nerd.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
but he's not an actor. Good choice. I think is, but maybe he is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to judge the guy.
That'll make
maybe
it more okay. To...
You know what? It's decided. That's who's going to play Jared. we've just cast him. We're clearly in charge of this shit. Oh yeah. Man. Okay. So wait. So they are, that's a serious thing, Vic.
I read.
They're making a movie about Jared from Subway.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize it was a documentary though.
Oh wait, is it?
Is it? Josh said it is.
No, I think Josh has no fucking idea. Josh is just spitting shit out of his fucking mouth. Real. You dumb bitch. You have no
idea. Catching a monster.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Catching a monster?
Okay, there has to have been a
one season. I'm like, how many seasons can you get out of this?
They don't need to make every documentary into a TV show.
this could have been a half hour
documentary, really.
Yeah, this is... What do you, I think there's probably a better title that really could pull in.
Yeah, the title is not good.
I was about to say, like, I was about to go down this path, and then I was like, we're talking about a pedophile, maybe I shouldn't.
Okay, let's not.
Yeah, like come up with some, like, clever, witty thing that includes, like, footlongs or Subway. Okay, yeah, or, yeah,
let's not do that.
Yeah, there's probably a reason why they went with, like, a very vague.
But Ryan has, he wants to add in something.
Catching a Monster really just sounds like a cryptid documentary.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. It's Jared from Subway is a cryptid, I believe.
It's when they wrestle down Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Monster. Wow. So I watched a documentary recently, The Sins of Our Mother. Have any of y'all seen that or know the story of that woman who wouldn't tell authorities where her two children were? And it turns out she had fallen in with this cult that was convinced that the end times were near, and it was kind of a sex cult too. This was at the beginning of the pandemic. It was all over the news for a while, but
why do I feel like every cult becomes a sex cult at some point?
Yeah. Because they all do. Because the leader is there's two goals of 99% of cults: money and sex. That's it.
Why can't they just
like
be
almost
like,
every fucking time?
You know, dudes.
So I guess everybody in the world's in a cult then. Stupid joke. It's dumb.
Vic, keep it in.
So this documentary, like I said, it's it involves this woman who falls in with this other dude. The other guy seems like he's hyping up the visions that she has, and they convince a lot of other people that she is being visited from God and seeing angels and shit.
This sounds super familiar. What was the name of the cult?
I don't think they had a specific name for it, because it was a relatively small group of people. But they just I don't know. I'm pretty sure she got sentenced or is about to go on trial for it. Anyway, she ended up having her children murdered and shit. Super fucked up stuff. But
A sacrifice or something.
Well, the weird thing, I was talking with Tammy about this, and you hear people, experts in cults and shit, talk about how, anybody can fall for this stuff. And yeah, it's I understand that to a degree, but I don't even really like group activities of any kind to the point, it's always, I don't mean to say I'm impervious to this shit.
Yeah. I just mean like, I have same way.
Okay. I just have
of course, hindsight's 2020 and everything, but I wouldn't be in a cult.
I feel like it's pretty safe to say the first instance of somebody trying to give me life advice,
yeah,
I'd be that. Yo, you need to back the fuck up. I am done. This is not me at all.
I simply would not be in a cult.
Well,
I know it feels that way. Yeah.
Exactly. And every cult expert says, everybody's susceptible to it. And it's I don't think that's true. I don't actually think that's accurate. But the thing that fascinated me about this one in particular was that it's not really there are people that have delusions, right? And mental illness that makes them think they're talking to God or, having some, they have abilities,
auditory
powers.
Auditory hallucinations.
Right, exactly.
They're extremely common in just regular stressful situations.
Exactly. So that's not really whatever fascinates me about these documentaries or these stories. it's the people that believe those folks that aren't having them themselves, but then see somebody else and then convince themselves that those people are actually speaking to God. Those are the folks that are more fascinating to me than the actual people really leading the cults. Because, like, that is one step removed from whatever miraculous shit is supposed to be happening. But they are willing to throw out all logic and reason and convince themselves that this person is a conduit of the word of God or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange to me. I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day. Like the people that have the like, there's, again, throughout history, there's lots of folks that, you know, will try to convince you that they are you know, a prophet of some sort, but they need followers for any of the shit to work.
Snake oil works really well for whatever.
Yeah, exactly, reason. Exactly. Yeah, con man.
Yeah, I don't want to say I wouldn't fall for a cult because I feel like I fall for too many like phishing emails. So I think I might be susceptible to like believing things.
You know? Right, your wife like, too, right? Like she didn't she fall for it at her work?
Well, she didn't. She didn't fall for it. I feel like she. Well, I don't know. I think that sometimes people are skeptics in certain aspects of life. Like, it's the fact that people would be really religious, but then also they're like, I won't like trust the vaccine. And then it's like, there's tons of levels where I feel like people are willing to be skeptics and then not.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, and then they just have these like huge blind spots.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, this is, you know, where people are like, oh, you can't trust anyone. And then they're like, you know, just something like blah, blah, blah. I read this thing on Facebook and you're like, well, that's kind of the same thing. And, you know, right. Like, I feel like we all do that to a degree, but hopefully it doesn't lead us to like,
but the moment somebody told me, the moment some charismatic dude tells me I need to blow him in order to prevent myself from getting COVID-19. It's not happening. You know, I'm not sucking anybody's dick to get a vaccine. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I feel like when
it's Willie Nelson.
Unless it's Willie Nelson, I am not.
Yeah,
like I'm not going to say that out loud. I'm not going to say that sentence. You can clip it. Fuck you.
The steps that get you to that point would be, I don't know, interesting and like a morbid. You don't actually want to see it away, but it's like to get from one point to the other, you're just like a person that's like, oh, this seems interesting. I'll take your flyer and I'll go see what the group's about.
Right.
And then before you know it,
you're at the Scientology Institute.
Yeah, I was about to say before you know it, you've been split up into a room and one, your newly dating, significant other has bought the book on a credit card. Yeah.
They just have like tape over like Scientology when you walk in, and then they come in and be like, JK.
Pull it, rip the tape off. I thought it was at science.
You know, and then there's going to be the nitpicky assholes who are going to use such a wide definition of the word cult, and they're going to be like, well, all y'all are in some kind of cult or another.
Right, right.
And then I think about like, what cult am I in? Like, I suppose like audio engineering is kind of a cult, you know?
No, it is not.
Well, let me explain.
Okay, so say
a microphone.
No, Vic really wants to be in a cult, apparently. Yeah. He's wait a second.
What if I was a pedantic asshole, this is what I would say.
It would go something like this. I spend all my money on audio equipment, first of all. I've alienated my family because I spend too much time doing it. He goes through the list and is like,
you're doing it for me right now. But it's like, so if you ever see like a microphone that's like $100 or like $400, like a SM57 or an SM7B, you have like the shootout and you're like, is it really sound that much different? And you're like listening really close to see if you can tell. And like, if you have to take this much trouble into listening really close, that you can tell, like, then it's
the
$300 difference.
It's all about the warmth here. I think when you're in an audio engineer cult, you would know because you would have a shirt that says something like audio engineers do it till it hurts.
It's an audio engineering thing. You couldn't hear enough to understand.
Yeah.
It just says hurts so good. Mega hurt.
Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think I could fall for a cult, to be perfectly honest. I'm too susceptible, unless it's the cult of personality.
Wait, what about like comic books?
Whose personality?
Vernon Reed.
Okay. I thought you were just speaking in generalities there.
Yeah, I forgot about, that was the band's name. Wrestling's kind of a cult for some people, right?
Yeah. It's a way of life.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what, like, the broadest what would qualify as a cult the broadest definition.
This is what an idiot would say a cult is.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Local music kind of qualifies.
Well, you come to the right place, Mick. Local bands.
All those kind of things that they tell you, where they're like, well, if you play a show, the first show you play, you shouldn't expect to get paid. There's certain rules where I'm like, I bought into the rule too. I think that they're like the unspoken things kind of make it culty. And then like I give all of them, which I think is fine to do. I often, like, if I play with touring bands, I'll give all of the money.
You got to give.
Cause I tell myself, well, if I'm on tour, I'd want someone to do that for me.
Right.
And then I feel like in ways you're almost buying into a cult, because it's like, if people don't live under your same guidelines, then you go play Chicago and then everyone else takes the money.
I have said for years that playing in a local band or even like a minimally touring band, it is a multi-level marketing scheme.
It is. And multi-level marketing schemes are cults.
Yeah, but are people at the top, are you getting a cut of the people that you let
that's the whole point.
With touring bands,
the people who are making the money are the people that sell the guitars and amps and shit.
Well, the Ticketmasters and stuff, and then them, and the venue the owners. Yeah, and then
that's just capitalism. Y'all are just describing capitalism, like the definition of capitalism.
Well, I mean, capitalism is kind of like a multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah, to a degree, absolutely.
A lot of the arrangements for touring things, though, is like, let's say the headliner gets, I don't know, I'll just say $1,000. A lot of times for the opening bands, they'll give you like $100 to $150. And they tell you, like, well, you'll make a lot of money in merch. And that's what you believe going into it. But also then venues will take
a
merch cut
that? From you.
And so it's sort of like you buy into the system, and then eventually you're like, well, if we do these things, kind of like play for exposure points, then we'll be able to, one day we'll be the headliner. And yes, all of that is really capitalism more than anything. Is that what
I was
going to
say.
Thing.
So
if you work hard,
could you... Like, could you argue that you are being alienated from your family and loved ones and discouraged from seeking help from the outside world?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Josh has played in some fucked up situations, apparently.
Yes. I have.
Have you guys ever heard of a band that did kind of operate like that? Like, really culty?
There is a band called The Armed that does it on purpose, and they kind of did it as like a weightlifting thing.
What the fuck
They did this shtick where during the pandemic, they all decided to get really into weightlifting, because they assumed when shows got back, they'd be like really ripped. And they also kind of refused to show people their faces, and then sometimes when journalists show up, like have other people playing them. So... some people don't really know, like, who's in the band, or they just try and make it really confusing.
What's the name of this band?
That's kind
of
funny.
The Armed. Okay, that's a cute name for that whole, working on your biceps and shit.
There's a really great band that I've been listening to the shit out of lately called The Church of the Cosmic Skull, and their whole aesthetic is, like, a cult, you know?
I mean,
they all dress in white.
That band, cool. Polyphonic Spree, was kind of a cult.
I was about to mention them.
They had like 20 people in the band, and you would kind of, that's where...
Wait, that's just an orchestra. That's, that's, hold on. okay, we can't have the definition of cult that broad. It's like any semblance of people that
it's
are like
there's more than seven people in a room and nobody's Slipknot feet are touching the ground.
Slipknot's a cult.
Of course Slipknot's a cult. They have the maggots as their followers.
That is true. That is true. I feel like if you are a band that has a specific name for your fans, then it's starting to, it's like cult-like behavior.
Like Deadheads?
Deadheads, yeah. Parrot Heads.
Chili Peps.
Chili Peps.
Geordies.
Montel Jordan's fans, Geordies.
The Beef Hive.
We're talking bands right now. I didn't say this included podcasts. Right.
We're a band of brothers.
The hit HBO series, Band of Brothers, their fans. Swifties, Taylor Swift's fans.
Oh, for sure. There's like QAnon stuff on Swifties. Like, yeah, on TikTok, there's so much stuff about like, when she mentioned this, she means this, and she's
they were convinced she was going to come out as a lesbian on this last album that she put out due to like code words and shit. I think we talked about that briefly.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, that. Yeah. They were. It was like a beautiful mind level, like
how
would putting kinda, clues and shit
how
together.
How would she do that one music video and then be like closeted? Like that wouldn't make any sense. Like,
well, I don't know. Well,
I think there are shaking off is about shaking off straightness.
I think there are technical reasons why somebody would do that. I mean, I think if you had a manager in your ear that were like, "Hey, I think it's fine if you are." But I wonder how it will affect your ticket sales if you came out, you know?
Well, like, I think there's a long history of performers that are gay or lesbian that write songs singing, like love songs directed at the opposite sex before they come out of the closet. So,
do you think that Taylor Swift is ever going to be concerned about her ticket sales? Like, I think she's gonna be
an artist. I mean, the fall
probably how expensive they've gotten, if anything. I don't
think
she obviously
doesn't give a shit about that.
Yeah,
well, I don't think there's anything she could give a shit about. I mean, technically, she has more power than anybody else.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, than, like a Bruce Springsteen.
But then the president, even.
I mean, you might not be wrong about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the no administration has dared to investigate or ask for like investigation into Ticketmaster, and then she tries to sell tickets one time, and then suddenly there's congressional hearings and shit. So,
She old enough to run for president?
I don't think so.
She
don't you
get
have to
a
be
fake ID?
35. Fake ID. Yeah, you just show your fake ID to the guy at the guard at the Supreme Court or wherever the fuck. You just show your ID at the door.
Come to the door, they'd be like, "We're at capacity."
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, Obama didn't even have a birth certificate, so.
I love the idea that running for president is a club and like there's too many dudes in there. You know how most clubs are where they limit the number of guys that go in, but not
girlfriends are in there.
Yeah, exactly. And like we need more women running for president. That's what I've always said. Happy International Women's Day.
Especially Taylor Swift, right?
Please clap. So Taylor Swift,
you know how I think president. That like name recognition highly correlates to the winners of political candidacies or whatever.
Yeah, candidacies. like for instance the very common name Barack Obama. Yeah. The very American Anglo-Saxon. I'm just kidding. I agree with you completely. I just wanted to throw that example out there.
But don't you think if Taylor Swift ran for president, like she would win like a motherfucker, right?
I don't know if she'd win, but she would take a hell of a lot of votes.
Yeah, she really
why
would.
Wouldn't she
absolutely
win?
Would. Why would...
I don't understand why she
now Vic's
win.
Indignant about it.
I'm not the slightest amount, I'm confused. And
the slightest amount of pushback on Taylor Swift would win the presidency. He's like, I don't. Why? You explain to me why.
I want
to
know why she wouldn't win. I think
probably because
she's pro cop.
The people that
is she
that,
really
yeah that would
win. Yeah. I don't know if she is. Sorry, Taylor, if you're listening.
I think that, like Ryan said, she would take a large portion of the electorate, but not enough to win, because the people that would be willing to vote for her are younger people, and those are the hardest ones to get to vote.
Oh, that's a good point. Your older folks
that do, the people that
going to get the kids out, it's going to be T Swift, right?
Yeah, I think that's why she would get a large chunk of the vote. But I think there's still more people out there who would be pissed that, you know, it's being made a mockery of, you know, for her to even run for president, more so than Donald Trump. Yeah, because he ran as a politician, you know, like he said that all the red baity, you know, the red meat shit that he needed to say.
Yeah, right. Well, she could do that.
Yeah, I mean, if she went out there and like, you know, had a platform and shit.
Hey, I didn't say it was going to be easy.
Yeah. But you are saying that she would win, though. Yes. It's not going to be easy, but she absolutely would win.
Yes. Okay. Those are the things that I'm saying.
I think she could have a good chance.
Vic, you are a political strategist, my man. What are you saying, Josh?
I was saying I think she would have a good chance. I was just checking the Nate Silver. I was checking his.
Oh yeah, 538.
Okay. Yeah, I was checking his polls, and he has her as a winner against Hillary in the primaries.
Oh shit!
Oh well, low bar, right?
Yeah. Oh man! All right, Ryan, what do you got for topics this week?
I took this topic from Twitter about a week ago or so, and just forgot to ask about it. This is from somebody whose name I didn't save. I apologize. if you're listening to this, you can come at me and be like, that's my fucking picture, bro.
Yo, you think that's what they sound like?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
That's fucked up. We'll award you 1 free month to the Patreon.
Yes. But you still have to pay for it.
Or 1 week. I don't know, something like that. We'll award you a week that you have to pay for.
It's what celebrity would you get into a car with, no questions asked, if they randomly showed up in your driveway?
I feel like my list is long.
I'd say Jerry Seinfeld, because I know we're going to go get coffee.
and go pick up his girlfriend from high school. Yeah.
Let's see. What celebrity?
I mean, if it was just a guy I didn't know, I'd probably be like, okay, let's see, what are we doing?
Yeah,
I just saw a fucking commercial with John Cena on it, and I was like, hey, it's Channing Tatum. And I was like, why did my brain call John Cena Channing Tatum?
Why haven't they played like brothers in a movie?
Do they look similar?
They look kind of similar. Yeah,
they look more similar
than him and Vin Diesel.
You know, there's going to probably be like a Twins remake with like those two, and they're going to be like, you missed the joke.
They completely ruin the idea of the movie by having two incredibly buff dudes that look like they could actually be brothers.
Like, yeah. Vin Diesel and fucking John Cena are brothers in Fast and the Furious now, so Channing Tatum.
Spoilers!
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole plot of Part 9 was.
I've never seen any of those.
I've only seen 1 through 5, or 6, or 7. It's hard to get.
You've seen a lot of them.
I haven't seen any since, I think, Tokyo Drift.
That's number 5.
I gotta get five fucking movies deep before it gets good.
Two's great.
They get really good at 5.
I don't believe that.
But then they get really good at 5, and then it kind of start going down.
I think they probably get entertaining, but really good.
What? Like, are you doing the fucking, like, do you work for Criterion Collection now?
Yes, I do.
I'm talking about a fucking action movie. Oh, are they really good? Is it, like, Citizen Kane level?
Is it culturally important?
Is it Red Balloon? Bicycle Thief? Like, what kind of good movie?
Keep going.
My Dinner with Andre?
That'd
be a good crossover.
My Dinner with Vin Diesel?
What was I about to say?
You're like, oh, is it really good? Like,
That's what you sound like.
Does it get really good, or is it entertaining?
That's That's what really good means.
Is it?
When I'm entertained, something is good.
Okay. Is there a movie that's really good, but it's not entertaining?
I mean, there's probably a lot of dramas that you're like, but I guess it's entertaining even if like you're like, oh, that person's dying.
God, I would love to watch a really good movie that I didn't find entertaining.
I don't know. Ooh. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
It's kind of the, I feel like sometimes I'll be more forgiving if something is entertaining. Like, and it's also, you kind of like take the movie where it lives. Like, when people go, well, this Adam Sandler movie wasn't as good as Godfather. And you're like,
that's not how you say.
That's not where you're supposed to rate Jack and Jill.
You know? I'm sorry, like, but Don Corleone didn't fight an alligator. So
again, so you're saying Jack and Jill is a good movie.
Is it really
good movie? I don't want to be on record saying that.
Okay. Well, I wanted you to be so that we know where our standards are located.
I think that the best part of the movies are the Al Pacino, Dunkachino things, which I believe I've talked about on here. So there are bits in there that are good, but it is not a good movie. Yet, Fast Five is an amazing heist movie.
Okay.
I got one. Would you factor in disturbing as being even somewhat affiliated with entertaining? Because I don't think I would.
Well, I've seen stuff that was disturbing and not entertaining.
I mean, like, a movie I think is really good, but it is not entertaining at all, is Antichrist by Lars von Trier.
But I think it's in its sort of cringe, is probably a better word than cringe. I feel like you're entertained by that. You can't look away. Especially when you see like his full dick in it. So, you know, so there are parts that are definitely entertaining.
So I would get in a car with Matthew McConaughey if he pulled into my driveway.
Oh, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
he'd pull up in a Lincoln.
Yeah, he'd pull up in a Lincoln.
Matthew McConaughey, hey.
I would try and sell like NFTs to you or say something really centrist.
Yeah, who else would I get in a car with?
Him and Woody Harrelson would be there in the car together.
It'd be a plant-powered car.
Yeah.
Trying to think. So who, like, I'm just thinking of, so the question was celebrities or actors?
I think it could be anybody. I mean, like, for me, like, I would pick, like, Nicolas Cage. I'd say Margot Robbie.
I'd be afraid to ride in a car with Nicolas Cage driving.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
If he let me drive, I would do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's
Drive Angry, and he was angry.
Driving. It's hard to separate.
But he never crashed the car, did he?
No, that was Crash, I think you're thinking.
Yeah.
Man, this bit has wheels, boy. It's hard to imagine celebrities like, or to detach actors and actresses from the types of roles that they play. So it's hard for me to imagine, like, what if Matthew McConaughey is just a fucking nightmare of a human being, but he plays like a good old boy, a good time and easy chill dude in all of his roles. But then you get in the car with him and he is just awful.
Ethan Hawke.
Human being. Ethan Hawke. That's random as shit.
Driver.
What about, okay, so, are we, so what are about musicians?
Evaluating this on how good they can drive a car? I know I introduced that with Nicolas Cage.
Would they be, you want to be entertained while going on a trip? Or
you want it to be a really good ride, but not entertaining?
Willie Nelson. I would get in the car with Willie Nelson.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Definitely.
Do you think he drives like a really old truck with like a nice engine though?
Yes. Maybe.
Like it looks like his acoustic guitar.
The truck looks like his acoustic guitar?
Yeah, like the one that has like a bunch of holes in it that he still plays.
Trigger?
So it's like Wacky Races?
Yeah, he's got like, you can put your feet down like Flintstones. But
who was in that movie? I know Josh has seen this movie. It was a stupid question I was about to ask him. Rat Race?
I just watched that recently for the first
time. Of course you did. Yeah, fucking course you did. Yeah, I know, Josh. I know. Hey, every movie I can bring up, you've recently watched.
I haven't watched it.
You would know the answer to this question. Is Rat Race a remake of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
No, it's really just like an homage.
Okay.
But Smash Mouth, I think.
So they only use horse and carriages and churn their own butter? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Amish, yeah. I mean, the homage. Homage?
Homage? Talking about that guy from Queens of the Stone Age?
Josh Homage.
All right, so Ryan, did you ever say a celebrity? This was your fucking topic.
He did. Say a celebrity. Yeah, he's like, I never thought about it.
Yeah, I said like Nick Cage, Margot Robbie.
Okay, okay.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So just so just all white people is what we're saying. So we're just gonna throw out white people.
I was also gonna throw in Samuel Jackson and Michelle.
Sure, Yeoh. After
you were.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure you had that on the tip of your tongue. Yeah.
Well, before you rightfully accuse me of racism, I was gonna mention them.
Yeah, well, I said Speed Racer because I was thinking like if imaginary people can.
Like, oh, ooh, so if know. They're characters, what character would you get in?
I was just thinking like celebrities that aren't necessarily real.
You the Scooby Doo gang,
like ABBA.
Yeah, that's what a character is, Vic. You were like, yeah, celebrities that aren't necessarily real. That's a fictional character.
I don't know. When you said character, I thought of an actual actor like playing the character. But it's like when somebody like
those are fictional.
Somebody like ABBA, you don't know there isn't fictional necessarily an characters. Actor that play those people. You know.
Wait, I'm sorry. ABBA is a character?
Well, they're not real because they're Swedish.
Oh
Jesus! Call back.
Now you made me have a stroke.
I would actually. The real answer is I would get in the car with Wesley Snipes. Then I'd be like, "Hey, go straight for a little bit. Then take a left up here, and the tax office is right here. We're gonna do your taxes so you don't get in trouble again." Because I love him to death. I don't want him to go into prison.
I'm same. I feel the same way. Vic, what do you got for topics this week?
So have you guys seen that Chris Rock has a new stand-up special out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess it's probably towards the end of it, he addresses the Will Smith shit and, like, mm-hmm. talks a bunch of shit about Jada and Will. And I was like, well, I guess I kind of want to see this. So I just put it on and started watching it from the beginning, and I couldn't get through 10 minutes of it. I just had to turn it off.
Every clip I've seen has been ungodly boring.
Well, so
his last special was pretty boring too.
Was it?
Apparently nowadays, every comedian is just, they have to do the fucking, I hate wokeness thing.
Right.
And I just watched it for, 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, it's not a joke. It's not funny, I don't think, and it's just hacky.
What's interesting is that wokeness is absolutely killing comedy, but it's because comedians won't shut the fuck up about it.
It's from the other side.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's, they're allowing it. It lives in their heads rent free.
Yeah.
And they all think that they have some unique take on the idea of what wokeness is, and they don't. They absolutely don't. Like, I haven't seen that segment about Chris Rock stand up, but you know, did y'all see the Roseanne Barr clips that were on Twitter? Yeah, you know, and she actually says, my pronouns are kiss my ass. She says that. Unironically.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She does that. Like, that is an actual bit. Josh,
what Chris Rock does in his stand up.
Okay, so
it was the same shit.
I haven't seen the Chris Rock thing, but I was gonna say,
I love Roseanne.
I know you would love this special, and like, you would start out ironically loving it, and then by the end you would be standing up clapping in your living room. You would be all about it.
I don't know. I loved Roseanne, I guess I should say, if anyone's wondering.
The
character Roseanne. Yes. I that family, I wished I was a part of that family. They seem like, even though things were falling apart.
Right. Now we're your together. Family.
That's fine. Better off than Roseanne.
But
in the show, she's dead. So
like, I really, and it's not just stand-up comedy, like this anti-woke cultural phenomenon. I mean, I think personally, it seems to me it's really just a transparent reaction to like a culture of people being like, we're fucking fed up and we're sick of racism and we're sick of like misogyny and we're sick of like anti-LGBT bullshit. Right. And then the fight back from that is like, well, the real problem is the wokeness. Like, and then they attack this fucking straw man pretend so that we don't have to address actual fucking racism and misogyny and shit.
It's the thing. Every comedian that was cutting edge for their time or had an authentic voice, they made a lot of money in the industry. They do not interact with normal people anymore to find out that...
Oh, dude, this whole special had reeks of just, I'm a rich guy that is separated from actual community. The entertainment
bubble that they have existed in for the past 25, 30, 40 years is not actually representative of what normal people kind of like joke about or interact with or think about on a daily basis. So they just attack the headlines that they see.
Yeah, right.
When they are consuming media of some sort. And so that's what they write their material about. And that's why it all starts to sound monolithic. They all attack the same topics and they address the same things. They go
talk into a microphone in front of 1,000 people and then put it on Netflix. And now everybody's like, well, it is normal to think what this guy's thinking.
Exactly.
Now.
It's just, it's this feedback loop.
Yeah.
That exists within this kind of, this media ecosystem, and it's not authentic. It's weird. It's like the conversations that I've had with normal people where we're standing around, like doing this podcast and shit, like telling jokes and stuff and topics of conversation. Yes. Every once in a while. You sounded like a confused cartoon dog just then. Tim Allen. I don't feel like those conversations have changed much, but if you just took like, if you made like a word cloud of all the hot button issues that stand-up comedians swear is what society is about these days, it would be so disproportionate to reality, yeah. You know?
And like I was saying, it's not like contained in the realm of stand-up comedy either. Like,
oh no, definitely not.
Just recently, not that long ago, there's like clips of Barack Obama complaining about how woke culture is like ruining this or that, and it's like he's like not the person that you would think that would be saying this kind of shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of right. Like woke culture, like if you're not paying attention, woke culture can come out of the sky and kill you and your entire wedding party, you know, unmanned. Unmanned. It's just autonomous wokeness raining death and destruction from the sky at any given moment, you know.
I agree.
It could just come right in through the tap on your water supply, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If you're in Flint, Michigan, just come there. If you live in Ohio, just hazardous wokeness spilling out into the fucking air all over the place. It pisses me off too. So there's been a few words like this over the years that have completely lost all definition and meaning. And usually it's when, quite often it's when a group of people that had nothing to do with the origin of the word co-opt it and start using it. And they don't, it's like, you know, everybody, you know, having the slightest complaint about any kind of customer service you're experiencing does not make you a Karen.
Yeah, and you're not triggered. You know, like the idea of triggered came from people like who are suffering from PTSD from sexual assault.
Exactly. So being triggered about shit is not, you know, peanuts existing in the same room that you do. Because somebody might have a peanut allergy is not, that's not being triggered because you're concerned about it. You know, that's not what that means. Actually just like learning about history and shit is not being woke. You know, slavery existed in the United States. Oh, we're just going to be fucking woke now about the founding fathers. It's like, well, it's not, that's not woke it's to just acknowledge reality. That.
Yeah,
exactly.
When someone says like, Karen in a TikTok video, I just scroll past. Like, I'm imagine anything else you said, there's no point. Like,
it's Karen Carpenter.
I don't care. I don't want to hear anything about it. Like, you know, like, why you can show me pictures of her drumming.
Call the manager.
But, like, it is so, it means nothing now. It really is, it's just like a nonsense word, like hipster, millennial. Like, it's like, it doesn't mean
That's another example I was going to bring up, Josh, is hipster. Is I remember when that actually... Yeah, I remember when that actually, like, meant something. It was someone who was super into underground, like, culture, music, basically things that weren't mainstream. And then it's like, if you order your coffee too fancy for somebody else's tastes, you are now a hipster. And it's like, that's not what that means at all.
Do you remember any way. The rampant hipster phobia. I swear to God, the disdain people had for like a fixed gear bicycle, like it's hurting you. Like, what did it do to you?
Yeah, you don't have to do it.
Metrosexual.
Yeah. And people are like, I can't believe these people act like PBR is good. I'm like, they don't act like PBR is good. It's cheap and you can drink a bunch of it. It's not hipster to drink cheap beer.
Now, I mean, if you're just like me, you just hate all cyclists and try to run them off the road, not just the fixed gear ones, you know?
I was going to say, like, dude, if you really have that much of a problem, do what I do. Just chase them down and beat them.
With craft beer, with good beer, you know?
Yeah.
I knew a guy who rode a fixed gear bicycle, but he refused to wear the plaid shirts that he owns because he thought they were too hipster.
You got to narrow that down, man. I know there's plenty of people like that.
So he would, like, before he went out in the morning, he would gauge like how much of a hipster he looked like in the mirror before he
stepped out in the world. You know what it is? It's selective outrage, which is the name of Chris Rock's special.
Name of Chris Rock's special. Wow. Exactly.
We're promoting it for Netflix. It's available now.
I think Chris Rock kind of shot himself in the foot with his special. Because it's been a year, and this is the first time he's talking about the whole Will Smith slap thing. Yeah. I don't think, unless it was just the most mind-bending, incredible joke of all time, I don't think he could have lived up with to the expectations people had for that special.
I've seen bits of that in piece, and it really just kind of starts doing that classic like man thing of like being like, well, the real problem is the woman, like kind of paints the like succubus thing of like her. And it's like, and it's just very like hacky. Like that's where I feel like I'm like, I don't even, sometimes it's like, well, I care about the issues. Like I think, you know, all the term woke and all that stuff I care about, but it's like, at the end of the day, I feel like you can tell jokes that do push boundaries. I've heard lots of funny trans jokes when they're told from the right angle.
Right.
But it's just hacky. So I'm like, what I'm criticizing you on is the fact that you're corny as shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, it's just hacky, easy, paint-by-the-numbers comedy that's been done for, like, 50 years.
And, you know, it wasn't funny when you heard the first comedian do it, but now I have heard the 113th comedian do it. It's way worse now.
Yeah. I think, personally, I think stand-up is...
terrible.
Just cringy in general.
I have not... No, so that's the weird thing. Whenever I've gone to Dead Crow comedy... to a stand-up show, I've loved it. It's been absolutely hilarious because it's the difference that I feel between going to live music and seeing the performance and having like the visceral kind of like interaction with the performer on stage. And then I will never put their album on. I will never listen to their music outside of that performance because it doesn't instill that same feeling in me. Same thing with stand-up. I don't ever listen to stand-up albums. I don't ever watch stand-up specials anymore. It's been a long time since I've had the desire to. One of the main reasons is because I hear a lot of these stand-ups on podcasts, and the spontaneity of hearing them in conversation and have to react in real time, that it recreates that live feeling for me versus the rehearsed, very manicured performance side of it.
Yeah, I guess I'll put in like a slight sports reference because I know Mark and Steve are listening. So, but like, and we're in March, so March Madness. But you know, people say that, you know, like college basketball players sometimes are better athletes than like a lot of NBA people because they're like trying.
Nobody has ever said that.
I've heard people say
the NFL.
No.
I've heard that too. And so what? The point
No, you haven't. You have not heard anybody say college players are better than NFL players.
I have heard that.
But they are future
I don't know.
Players, it's been a, while. A lot of times.
Hit them in the face as hard as you can next time you hear them say that.
So I shouldn't have made a sports reference. I know right off the bat that Will was going to fucking... But fucking... The point being, I think that sometimes smaller comedians or like even smaller bands kind of have more to prove. And so they're kind of like better at their craft than people that get to the point of like Chris Rock. I mean, money or... Just the fact that they're kind of, you kind of just get lazy. Like, it's like, right. I can't expect like you two to write a good album at this point. You know, like they almost don't, they don't have to.
Wait, like which two of us, me and Vic
or any of you, okay. But like, it's like people are like, you know, the new Coldplay record was bad. And I'm like, no shit. They don't have to, like, they're like, why would it be? They don't have to prove anything. And it's like, even if they're trying, the environment they live in,
yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
stimulate them enough that like this is our make or break. Maybe they feel that way, but I'm like, their stimuli around them are way different than like, you know, kind of a smaller touring comedian. So it's right. like, I feel like these people are really like, I am concerned. I am like thinking about my craft. I have to make my tightest five. Chris Rock does not have to think about his tightest five anymore. Like these people are like,
well, you know, on top on of stage. That, on top of that,
Christopher Titus.
Well, he sounds like he's a better comedian at this point than Chris Rock.
On top of that, yeah, and I used to hear comedians talk about this a lot when I used to listen to WTF regularly. Once you get in the industry, when you've based your stand-up routine on observational comedy, suddenly you start observing things that most people don't relate to, like what it's like inside the entertainment industry. And, you know, I'm flying all the time, and it's like, okay, like a few flying jokes here and there are one thing, but most people aren't flying literally multiple times a week, you know, like that only gets you so much traction yeah. when you're doing a stand-up routine. So you start to become insulated, you stop having actual real world interactions that you based your comedy on in the first place.
Isn't every like later Rocky movie about like how he's kind of too rich and there's no way he could be in the best shape that he was when he was younger? So he's trying to get back to the shape.
This is but, like, this he is doesn't Creed
have
3.
That yeah. It's like you can't even if you tried, you can't have the same drive that like Jonathan Majors' character has because you're not right. in that pressure cooker. Like smaller comedians are like, they hear other comedians every night and they're like, oh, I got to change that joke because of this. And I, you know, you're like, you're being like sparred with every night. And so yeah. like Chris Rock, or there's so many people we could put in that sphere. Like even someone like Mark Maron's gotta basically be in that realm. But he, you know, it's like when you're doing comedy clubs and actually performing nightly, which I don't believe Chris Rock is, you just kind of like, you're not as strong as you were. Like in the
as
same
speaking
way.
As a stand-up comic, Josh, I know you know, the craft of this.
I know a couple, but I think it's like, even with like smaller local bands, they like have more competition. Like when yeah. you don't yeah, have yeah. competition, you kind of become
you feel like you have nothing to lose. You can yeah. experiment with your sound. You can really get far out there and see what strikes a chord with your audiences and shit. Then once you get at the top of it, you stop experimenting as much because there is a formula that got you there in the first place. So that's why when real famous bands do something out of left field, there's such a visceral, like quite oftentimes, hatred for it, because that's not why we made you famous in the first place, guys. Go back to your roots. You know, this is not what we
and
like.
They do with Saint Anger.
Exactly. Exactly. Start farting on that snare drum, boy.
Man, Kill 'Em All didn't sound like Saint Anger. And now we're talking about something else.
Exactly.
Staying on the topic of comedy, sort of. There was a guy named Dusty Slay. I kind of want to give him credit for it. He was talking about Toby Keith's song, How Do You Like Me Now? And uh-huh. he was talking about like the content of that song. So as a kid, I don't know. Are y'all familiar with that song that was a huge song in the late 90s?
So
I know if I heard it, I would recognize it, but I have no idea.
How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way.
Yeah. Okay. I know that.
Toby Keith had some bangers.
He had some bangers.
Just by the way,
then 9/11 happened.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American
well,
way.
Before that,
about a little bit of Chicken Fried? Was that Toby Keith?
No, Zac Brown. You dumbass.
He did. I love this bar. Right.
I love this bar. I think Toby Keith has a restaurant or a bar in Times Square called
Toby Keith's. I love this bar.
He did. Should have been a cowboy.
Yeah, Kobe Teeth.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got some. He's got some good songs pretty early on, like pre How Do You Like Me Now. So his mid '90s career has some bangers. Like so basically, the song is similar. The reason I'm bringing it up is. At some point, I was like, wow, it's almost the same song as that Mike Jones song. And, like, this idea of,
back
like...
Man, you didn't like me, now I'm out in the holes on me. You
mean that song? That's... Yes. It sounds exactly like that. So there's this... The basic idea is that, you know, like, oh, you didn't like me then, but now I'm big, so I'm kind of looking back, and you missed out. Yes. That's what I thought the song was about for
and
Toby
it's
Keith.
Not...
It's not really about that because, and I guess I'll try and read some of the lyrics and you'll see what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I was always the crazy one, broke into the stadium, and I wrote your number on the 50-yard line. You were always the perfect one and a valedictorian, so under your number I wrote, call for a good time. I only wanted to get your attention,
but you
overlooked me somehow. Besides, you had too many boyfriends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, do you think I'm still crazy standing here today?
I think you're a douche.
I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now? When I took off to Tennessee, I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married into the money girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone. Your kids hear you cry down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing. Who could that be singing? It's me, baby, with your wake-up call. So there's kind of this thing where it's like he wanted this girl to like him, but all he did was like make her life a living hell.
Yeah, it was like it's like playground kindergarten shit where you like tease someone.
It's kind of like adult shit too, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like incel kind of shit too. Yeah. Like it's like. Like, you're, like, by nagging her, which I know pickup artists kind of feel like this is a thing. But I, as a kid, I didn't pick up on any of this context. I was like, yeah, I'm a fucking nerd. And, you know, one day I'll be famous. I think that's kind of, like, what the thing is. But that's more of what Mike Jones' song is about. Like, Mike Jones' song is more about, like, you know, he says in the song, like, I was chubby, you made fun of me. But now I'm still chubby, but I got all these hoes on me.
Now I'm hot. Like, you all on me.
Yeah, and that's...
This is like hearing Charlton Heston read body count lyrics.
But that's what the song... But there's also a third in this realm of songs.
Okay.
So Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
It's the same context.
I actually been thinking about that song the whole time.
Yeah, so if anyone knows the lyrics more than me, but like it also paints more of the vibe that I always thought the Toby Keith song was saying. The Mike Jones song and the Avril Lavigne song paint more of like, you know, in Avril Lavigne's song, she dates a guy that another girl snubbed him. And then now that he's bigger, like a bigger musician or whatever, a professional skater is what the song's about. She's like, you better stay away from my man. Because you never gave him the time of day anyways, and he's mine now, so fuck you, is basically what Skater Boy is about. That's more on that topic than the Toby Keith song,
Don't fuck with her, she's Canadian.
Yeah, but I thought about that because even in, like, Dusty Slay's video, he's a, like, comedian guy, he was talking about, like, I never thought about how fucked up of a concept that Toby Keith song was. Like, growing up, you just kind of go, yeah. You know, I'm a loser.
Yeah, you just sing along with it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, how fucked up of a notion that I feel like... And this is the guy that, at the time when, like, I guess, like, 9/11 happened, you know, also, like, went after, like, Dixie Chicks and stuff. Like,
thank you for your service.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just something to think about if you haven't thought about that song.
Country songs are the king genre of... slipping in some fucked up shit that if you go back and listen to it, you go, wait a second, what is the conceit here? Like, there's a Blake Shelton song called, I think it's like Old Red or something like that, where he is serving time in this prison and starts taking care of the warden's like hunting hound that whenever escaped prisoners get out, like break out of the prison, the warden turns Old Red loose and Red hunts down the, and the warden loves it. Like, it's one of his favorite things to do is go looking for runaway prisoners and shit.
Does he fuck the dog?
Yes, that's exactly right, Ryan. You nailed it. Like, at the end of the song, he's making love to, like, he falls in love with Old Red and he's happy in prison from then on out. Yep. At the very beginning of the song, he casually slips in that he caught his wife with another dude and somebody got murdered, but it's vague as to, like, did he murder his wife? Like, did he murder
his wife?
did he murder his wife?
Have some reason that he would be in prison in the first
exactly,
place.
Exactly. So he starts training this dog or starts taking care of this dog. And then, he found out that Red, like, there was a female hound dog and he was on good behavior, so the warden would let him take the dog for walks, and he introduced Red to this female dog, and then one night he turned Red loose on the same night that he escapes from prison, and instead of Red chasing him down, Red goes to the female dog and he gets away. He escapes from prison from, I'm thinking, murdering his wife or his girlfriend. So it's just like you're rooting for this guy to get out of prison, but if you rewind the song, it's like
murderer on the loose.
Oh now. God. Oh, this was an awful domestic violence situation. Like, it's like a horrific, one of the worst things you could be in prison
and
for.
Then this is all from the perspective of fucking Blake Shelton too.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other, that's the other,
you know,
thing.
The murderer in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, like, yeah, it's like, it's interesting because they're just kind of telling a story song, but you have to take into account Blake Shelton, so that makes it difficult. Like, I wonder if that song would work better given that even like a country singer with like a more rough image that, yeah, you're well, like, wow, yeah, this Blake, is complicated.
This so was young Blake Shelton too. This was
back when
this
he
was,
did have a rough image.
Well, not it, actually, he used to be like more of a pretty boy when he was younger, but yeah. Sorry, I've been boy. Reading, I've been looking at Toby Keith's hits. His first album came out in 93. Should have been a cowboy. That's a good ass song. Yeah. Y'all ever heard that one?
He's got some he's got the song about like taking out the trash. like one of those is like really good.
It's probably racist in some way.
It might be.
Like, yeah. Who is the trash in that song? Like
the 9/11ers.
Like, yeah. In that How Do You Like Me Now song though, like one last thing about it, like in nowhere in the song does it seem aware of like what role he plays. And I don't know how you'd write that in like a bridge or something. Like, well, I am aware that this was the wrong way of thinking. Like, I feel like throughout the
there's,
thing,
there's
like,
no comeuppance or there's no yes. acknowledgement that he was wrong for his actions.
Just kind of like, this is the right way to be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So
this is how torturing is you through the
unleashed
radio.
Unleashed sociopath then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. So that's, but I feel like that ties back to, and I know, well, he did actually co-write that song, so that's interesting, because I almost would push it away.
Kind of. Or sorry, Josh, I mean to cut you off.
Well, it feels like it kind of ties back to the Chris Rock thing, in a sense that it's like, when you let these guys show their true colors after they're big, I really think it, like, fucks with your... Like,
it is like a mental illness being famous.
Yes.
Like yep. Jack O'Brien from Daily Zeitgeist has said this for years now. Reaching a certain level of fame, it cripples your ability to perceive the world in a normal way that 99% of the rest of time and existence has perceived it.
Do y'all remember that article with like Will Smith's kids about where they were like looking at like fire and like how they perceived like the flame to be?
No.
It was like in like a kind of like a fashion magazine, but it was probably like 5 or more years ago now. And people were somewhat rightfully like kind of dunking on the kids.
Well, I know that, but I'm like, Jaden's always like being made fun of for him being like kind of out there or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm like, yes. But I'm like, if you grew up that way, you would have such a fucked up perception with, like, reality.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I almost, like, want to give him a little grace. Like,
yeah, it's I said the same thing
about
Justin Bieber. Like, everybody all talk shit about Justin Bieber. I'm like, man, if you grew up the way he did, like, you'd probably be the same way.
Yeah. And, like, there was, I remember there was, like, a thing where it was, like, Justin Bieber, like, peed in a mop bucket or something.
Yeah, which like,
that's not that crazy of a thing.
Who amongst us?
But, you know, and people were like, he's just so disrespectful. And I'm like, yeah, he probably is. I'm not saying he's, like, a great person, but I almost can't expect him to be, because this is, like, such a fucked up reality to, like, have to, like,
and be. He was a kid. I mean, I think we were all kind of dumb when we were, like, teenagers or early 20s, you know? That he's an adult now. I think that he's got...
I think he's kind of grown into a stupid
Justin
adult.
Bieber's got a good head on his shoulders now.
Well, yeah, now he looks like somebody hangs a Port City tattoo.
See, I go ahead and I say some shit when I have no idea what I'm talking
like
about.
Now he's kind of doing the kind of anti-vaxxer thing of like acting like it like messed up his eye kind of thing. And like doing the, like moving his leg like it has tremors and stuff.
Well, it might have been the splashback from the mop bucket.
I believe they're called graboids.
Yeah, but you know, so but whatever, the point stands. So like the young child actor or child personality musician, you know, you can't really expect that much. Like fame does warp who you are. I mean, it's like, and even like with us, I think like with the getting more and more listeners, I think as a, if you've followed us from episode one into now, you got to see like how it's gotten to all our heads, you know? So just, you know, give us a little grace.
I mean,
and Jaden.
Just don't make fun of my pink Cadillac that I earned from this podcast, you know?
But I don't know. Do we have anything we need to shout out at the end?
Happy 311.
What is that when this comes out? Oh, it's 311.
Today is 311.
Yeah. The worst day since 9/11.
Well, on that note, I think we're done. So check out our Patreon that we don't update, but we will soon. And follow us on all the social medias that I don't know the links to. So
they're all in the description.
Dang.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, no. Ryan, what the fuck? Why would you say that? Jesus.
I'm going to edit that out.
You need a mental health break from your mental health break.
Yeah, please edit that out, Vic.
No problem.
Let me try this again. Like a Hindenburg... Or-